Welcome to the Season 2 of Cybersecurity Awareness Month podcast series, a segment of EY India Insights podcast that brings you insights from the leading minds in cybersecurity and data privacy. I'm your host, Pallavi, and in today's episode, we will be exploring the future of cybersecurity with an emphasis on next-generation security operation centers. We have the pleasure of being joined by Murali Rao, partner and leader of cybersecurity consulting at EY India, who's instrumental in fortifying EY's cybersecurity presence across the region. With over 24 years of experience in cyber risk management and cybersecurity defense, Murali has worked with businesses in India, the US, and the UK. Before his tenure at EY, he served as a general manager and global head of cybersecurity and resilience consulting. In addition to that, being the head of cybersecurity ventures at a multinational technology major. Murali, a very warm welcome to you and thank you for joining us for this episode.
Thank you, Pallavi. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Murali, to set the context for our listeners, could you explain what a next generation security operation center is and how it differs from the traditional security operation centers?
Very interesting question. A traditional SOC in today's world is defined by the choice of a SIEM, which stands for Security Information and Event Management Platform, the kinds of logs ingested, and also in combination with the various different controls in the enterprise. The objective of a traditional SOC has been to cater to compliance from various different regulators. Now, over a period of time, what has happened is that the attacks on the enterprises, the threats to the enterprises, various different assets in the enterprises and to the people in the enterprises have gone way beyond anybody's imagination. So every enterprise today is more or less under attack. And an enterprise never knows unless they are under attack, unless and until they receive a ransom note or some data is exfiltrated or, you know, some things of that particular nature. So one needs to really ponder about what is an next-gen SOC? You know, what is the objective? Is it only compliance to the regulators? Is it to defend the enterprise? Is it to secure the enterprise? How proactive can I get with whatever changes I'm going to be making, you know, with respect to my SOC? So it all depends upon the architecture of a SIEM. There are, you know, over the last 2-3 years, there has been an influx of many new SIEM platforms and SIEM architectures, which makes it very different. A traditional SOC is invariably driven by an SIEM, which has got an RDBMS database at the back end. Now, an RDBMS database is meant for transactions. It is not meant for analyzing large volumes of data. So anybody having a SIEM with an RDBMS at the back end need to realize that they will no longer be able to scale. They no longer have an appropriately designed or architected SIEM, you know, for them to be able to carry out security monitoring. So the question comes to what should be the kind of data architecture that should be there in an SIEM. So that's a very interesting topic by itself. So anybody who's thinking of a next-gen security operations center should be thinking in terms of, do I have the right platform? Do I have the right SIEM platform? Do I have the right data architecture? Does it have an ability to scale? Does it have an ability to ingest large volumes of data, large volumes of network traffic, large volumes of data from applications, networks, IT, everything in the enterprise, cloud, everything in the enterprise. What about the ability to correlate? What about the ability to analyze? What kind of flexibility do you get in? Is it only a rule-based correlation, or is it going to be algorithm-based correlation, or is it a combination of both? What about the ability to respond? When we talk about ability to respond, one needs to realize that it is not only the SOC, but the more crucial or critical part of the response mechanism is your ITSM, which is the IT service management platform. Do you have a ServiceNow? Are you sitting on a legacy ITSM platform. What is your ITSM platform? Does it have all the resolver groups embedded in that? Are the ITIL processes well embedded in that, which defines my ability to respond appropriately and in line and in time? So that's a absolute critical aspect for the success of a SOC. Apart from this, what about the ability to automate? The new platform that I'm choosing, what is going to be my means of automation? What kind of playbooks can I write? How can I directly interface with the various different target technology platforms, whether it's a firewall or an EDR or whether it is an application? Can I write my own playbooks? How flexible can the playbooks be? There are hundreds of different kinds of issues that comes in when it comes to making a decision about a next-gen SOC. Apart from this, probably the most critical of them all is, how do you enhance the visibility? You're only as good as the visibility that you have. You can only defend and secure what you know. You can't be fighting blind. So in essence, a next-gen SOC needs to be defined based on the parameters that I mentioned. And it's not going to be a straightforward decision, at the end of the day, because there are many other factors also which comes into play here. We can talk about that as we move forward.
Thank you, Murali. Now that we've set the context of what is next-gen SOC and how it differs from traditional security operation centers, moving ahead, what do you think needs to be done to bring in proactiveness instead of SOC being just a reactive function?
Proactive SOC, as I was mentioning, in the last few minutes, needs to have an ability to scale, ability to ingest whatever, ability to correlate, ability to analyze, ability to respond, ability to automate, and on an ongoing basis, consistently and constantly keep enhancing the visibility of the SOC. So that is one part of a proactive function. The second part of a proactive function is, one needs to realize that SOC is only a mirror into what's happening in your enterprise. So it's absolutely critical that you have the right set of controls. You have designed and architected the right set of controls on your perimeter, on your endpoints, in your data center, or in the cloud. So the question is, do I have the right set of controls? Well, what is the efficacy of those controls? What is the effectiveness of those controls? And then one more critical part is, how is my network architecture? Have I zoned it out properly? Do I have my assets in the right zones? When was the last time I reviewed my architecture? That's another critical thing. The most important thing is that we grant privileges in the enterprise to various different systems, to various different servers or controls or applications in the enterprise. And do I have a control over that? When was the last time that I reconciled my privileged rights that I have granted to various different people in the organization? Do I have a control over that? Do I revoke the access to those people effectively? Is there a method to the madness when it comes to granting and revoking those privileges? Do I have the right set of processes? Because it's absolutely critical that you handshake, the human to human handshake and the human to tech handshake are actually governed by the kind of ITIL processes that are there in the enterprise. So when was the last time that we actually reviewed those processes, made changes to those processes in line with the change in the business environment of the enterprise? Do I have skilled threat hunters? Threat hunting is a very, very critical function for a proactive SOC. Unless and until I can hunt for the various different threats that the bad actors have on my enterprise or on my assets, I will not be able to know what to defend and how frequently or how effectively should I be defending which asset. Do I have the right visibility of my attack surfaces? Who is doing what on my enterprise? Am I constantly under attack? Is there anything in my enterprise which would attract the attention of the bad actors or the threat actors? Am I getting the right kind of visibility for all the assets in my enterprise? That's an absolute critical question. Then the most important of them all is probably, am I monitoring the right data? If I'm not monitoring the right data, then a SOC is going to be rendered toothless. You know, it's absolutely critical that I monitor the right kind of data at the right time, you know, by the right set of rules and correlation rules and processes from with the right people. So a proactive SOC is a result of proper and appropriate set of controls, a streamlined architecture, streamlined ITIL processes, effective automation, appropriate analysis, proactive threat hunting, constant discovery of threat surfaces, attack surfaces in the enterprise. So in essence, it's a combination of multitude of things that happens between a CIO, a CRO, a CDO, and a CISO. So it's no longer only a CISO function.
Thank you, Murali. Now, how do emerging technologies like AI and machine learning play a role in the evolution of SOCs?
Well, very interesting question. So one needs to understand that when enterprises spend money on digital transformation programs, whether it is for a CRM function or for its a sales function or for any other, you know, business-driven functionalities, they need to ensure that the engineering of data happens very appropriately. And today's SOC will need to be engineered to exploit the engineering that they have done on their digital transformation programs. Today's SOC will also need to be engineered to exploit the power and the promise of artificial intelligence and machine learning models. Data engineering and data pipeline management is absolutely critical to ensure and enhance the effectiveness, the efficiency, and the efficacy of the SOC functions. GenAI is an absolute critical aspect, you know, when it comes to enforcing automation. Various different machine learning models can be exploited to build out the analysis and the detective functions in the enterprise to reduce the stress on the people in the SOC. There are agentic architectures which are emerging to make human analysis and reduce the human analysis to a bare minimum. Deep learning models needs to be leveraged, you know, for us to bring in the ability to predict. The ability to predict is absolutely critical because you're constantly facing newer kind of threats on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you, Murali. Now, what is your opinion on platformization pitch being brought by many vendors in the marketplace, and should enterprises really be adapting them?
Well, you know, we always had an ERP to cater to a manufacturing process or a you know, inventory management or various different functions in an enterprise. But we have never had a single platform to manage security effectively in the enterprise. So thereby, platformization by some vendors, a few vendors, is going or leading the entire function, security function, into that kind. So you can think of platformization as an ERP for security lifecycle management in the enterprise. Just like there is an SAP is an ERP for managing the inventory lifecycle or purchase lifecycle or manufacturing lifecycle. Platformization in the domain of security is an ERP to manage the lifecycle of security management in the enterprise. So when you're talking about platformization, there are advantages and there are disadvantages. But what is critical to understand is that decisions in the enterprise should no longer be the function of only a CISO. The decisions should be in line with the enterprise cloud and data strategy in the enterprise. Whenever there is a data platformization or a data digital transformation program in the enterprise, the CIO, the CEO, CDO sit together to make that particular decision. However, the CISO function is currently the owner of the entire decision at this particular point of time when it comes to a SOC, which should not be the case. So a decision-making on the next generation SOC or platformization should be in line with what's your enterprise cloud strategy? What's your enterprise data strategy? Because it's absolutely critical that I make decisions involving the CIO, the CDO, the enterprise architecture, enterprise architect, the CISO as well. But in line with what is my enterprise cloud strategy? Where am I going to go 3 years from now or 5 years from now? What is my data strategy? How do I retain my data? How do I protect my data? All those are decisions which are intertwined with each other. Platformization can give you a lot of simplification, but at the same time, it comes with vendor lock-in, and you will have a certain ability to future-proof yourself with respect to the quality of the controls, the type of controls, the efficacy of the controls. But one needs to, platformization is not a straight walk-in game. It needs the buy-in and the ability to debate and make decisions along with various different stakeholders in the enterprise. So is platformization good or is it bad or is it needed? Well, that depends upon each of the enterprises differently. It will be, platformization might work for an enterprise A, but it might not work for enterprise B. So it needs to be a well thought of decision, Pallavi, as we move forward.
Thank you, Murali. Now, considering the heavy investments in digital programs by enterprises today, do you feel that the current SOCs are equipped to protect them? If not, what changes should we be considering?
Well, it's a very, very critical question, because as I was saying a couple of minutes back, when it comes to digital transformation, when it comes to any digital program in the enterprise, there is a good amount of debate that happens in the enterprise. And rightfully, the same kind of debate, the same kind of decision making needs to happen in the context of security lifecycle management as well. So if the enterprises are going to be designing the kind of SOCs which should be capable of defending them and securing them, then it's absolutely critical that security by design, privacy by design, trust by design should be embedded in the data engineering lifecycle itself. So embedding security, privacy, and protection related controls is absolutely critical at the right stage, at the right level in the organization. Ensuring that the SOC visibility into these digital environment, a SOC gets the visibility into these digital environments is absolutely critical. Now, how do you do it? You can do it only if you know the kind and quality of data that you're dealing with, only if you know that this data is absolutely critical to the enterprise, this data is critical from a regulator standpoint, this data is critical for me to demonstrate my ethics and compliance in the marketplace, then appropriate controls, both from a privacy standpoint as well as from a security standpoint, needs to get embedded at the data engineering level itself. So protection, detection, monitoring, and response management controls needs to be designed and architected and embedded at that level itself. Else, the SOC cannot be a good function. SOC will never be able to perform appropriately. So in essence, what we are talking about is it's by design and by architecture, embedding of security, privacy, and trust into data engineering at that basic level itself needs to happen today in the enterprises.
Thank you, Murali. Now, the human aspect has always been crucial. So can you share some insights on how the human element within the next gen SOC is important and the importance of the skilled professionals in this field as well?
Oh, this is something which is going to change very, very drastically. I don't know. Today, I think everybody realizes the fact that the running of an effective SOC is purely, or we could say that majorly, dependent upon how good my analysts are, whether it is a level one analyst, level two analyst, or a level three analyst. How good these guys are is going to be a direct statement on the effectiveness of a SOC. But in the coming months or in the coming years, we will be moving away from the human dependency completely. There will be very less or very meager dependence on level one and level two analysts and level three analysts. The Because a lot of it is going to be taken over by AI. The nature of the skill sets required in the SOC will completely change. You are now moving away from dumb analysts who were just meant to follow a standard operating procedure. We will move away from that into intelligent AI-driven agents who will take over that function completely and make these people redundant in the next 2 to 3 years or whatever. That's the way we see it moving. But the nature of the skill sets required to run the next generation SOC will be completely different. We will need more programmers, we'll need more data engineers, we'll need more data scientists embedded in the SOC. The dumb level one, level two, and level three analysts or people will be completely redundant. Newer functions will emerge. We'll need more Python, JSON, KQL, Yara programming skills embedded into a SOC function. Training data sets will become a day-to-day function. Building and training algorithms will become essentially a SOC function. Testing of machine learning algorithms, agents will become a core function of the SOC as we move forward. So the nature of a SOC, the way it is today, will probably end up turning 360 degrees, if not 720 degrees, you know, as we move forward in the next 2 to 3 years. So it's important that everybody recognizes that that's the way the world is headed towards, and that is what is going to give us the kind of results and the kind of outcomes that we are all wanting from a SOC. And it's important that we start to harness these kind of skill sets in the enterprise and for everybody who runs a SOC today.
Thank you, Murli. In terms of strategy, with your experience, what do you believe companies should focus on to ensure the SOC can withstand the constantly evolving threat in this landscape?
So, you know, threat, the nature of the threats are changing. It will keep changing. The nature of the threats will change and is bound to change because the nature of technologies is changing. When the nature of technologies change, the manifestation of the threats will change. When the manifestation of threats will change, you know, attack surfaces which were not exploited earlier will start to get exploited, you know, as we move forward. So threats will, in essence, get more and more complicated. The ability to map and detection capabilities will become absolutely critical. For a SOC, for the effective running of a SOC, the ability to detect and curate the telemetry will become very important. And a lot of this will need to be done by AI. What is most important is building in an ability to predict. So building in an ability to predict is probably going to be one of the most defining aspects of tomorrow's SOC or next-gen SOC, as we are going to be calling it. So the constantly evolving threat landscape will need to be met with effective usage of artificial intelligence and effective usage of various different machine learning models to not only analyze, not only correlate, not only, handle what is going on, but also bring in an ability to predict, you know, for us to be able to be that much more effective.
Thank you, Murli. Now, looking ahead, how do you picture the SOC of the future? And what trends do you think that the companies can keep an eye on?
Well, it's a combination of various different things that I mentioned over the last 15-20 minutes. Number one, it's brainless, but to think. But, you know, what is absolutely critical is it should be a data-driven architecture, SOC. A SOC should be driven by data architecture. We need to do inline data pipeline management, cyber data pipeline management, cyber observability along with network observability, IT observability, application observability, data observability is absolutely critical for us to keep an eye out for whatever is happening on the various different assets in the enterprise. Agentic architecture driving analysis and threat hunting functions is definitely going to arrive. GenAI is something that can be leveraged upon, exploited to automate in a very big way. Everything which is human to human and human to tech and tech to tech You know, handshakes which are happening in the enterprise can be automated completely by leveraging GenAI. The SOC needs to build a function to auto-discover assets because, as I said earlier, you are only as good as the kind of visibility that you have. If you don't have the right kind of visibility, you are blinded. If you are blindsighted, then your ability to detect, ability to analyze, ability to defend comes down very drastically. So one of the most critical functions in the SOC of the future is to ensure that there is an ability to auto-discover assets on an ongoing basis, auto-reconcile assets on an ongoing basis. What I foresee is a data scientist with a team of data engineers and programmers will be the ones who will be running the effectiveness, the efficiency, and the effectiveness, efficacy of the SOC of the future in the coming days.
Thank you, Murali. For organizations looking to build or upgrade to next-gen SOC, what would be your top recommendations?
4 or 5 recommendations. Number one, please think of redesign and re-architecting your SOC. It's no longer, a SOC is no longer a choice of a SIEM platform. It's a data-driven decision-making that one needs to do. SOC is just the eyes of your enterprise, but look beyond and look out for your other controls in the enterprise. You know, leveraging technology is absolutely critical, but at the same point of time, you need to ensure the technologies that are embedded in your enterprise are harmonious and they can exchange data, leverage data, so that effective decision-making can become a day-to-day function.
Thank you, Murali. Now, before we let you go, lastly, for our cybersecurity enthusiasts and professionals who are listening, what skills and competencies are becoming really essential in the context of next-gen SOCs?
I think over a period of time, cybersecurity had become a function where there was no place for programmers. There was no place for people you know, who could write logic or anything, because that used to be left to an OEM who used to come out and bring out products to cater to various different functionalities. So today, anybody wanting to get into the cybersecurity industry or anybody who's already in the cybersecurity industry needs to understand that artificial intelligence and machine learning is now a base level skill for everybody in the cybersecurity function. Cyber data engineers are an absolute must. So it's absolutely critical. Needless to say, programming, either with Python or JSON or KQL or Yara rules or various different Q languages, various different programming languages, is absolutely critical and has become a base function. So apart from this, there are the regular cybersecurity functions where your ability to be a ethical hacker, your ability to hunt for threats, your ability to understand controls, your ability to understand various different technology platforms, all those are definitely there. It's a given. But what is new, critical, and can take your career forward is that you embedding your cybersecurity skills with your deep dive expertise, getting a deep dive expertise on artificial intelligence and machine learning, ensuring that programming is, everybody knows how to program in one or two or more languages. So these are the ones that every cybersecurity enthusiast or anybody in the cybersecurity industry need to watch out for.
Thank you, Murali. With that, we come to the end of this episode. Your expertise has been a great deal of light in on the critical role of next-gen SOCs in modern cybersecurity. So thank you for sparing your time and sharing your valuable insights with us.
Thank you very much, Pallavi. I hope you know, everybody can make sense out of this, because many of the things that I articulated are absolutely critical as we move forward. And I would be happy to take in questions from anyone who would want to reach out to me. Thank you very much. Thanks for this wonderful opportunity.
Thank you, Murali. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in today's episode. We hope you've gained a clear understanding on next-gen SOCs and their impact on cybersecurity. So do join us next time for more discussions on the latest topics in cybersecurity. Until then, stay informed and stay secure. This is Pallavi signing off.